1 year ago today, New Orleans lost one of its most beloved bakeries and signature brands when the Hubig's Pie Factory burned to the ground. Since then, pie fans have come out in droves to support the company, but it takes more than T-shirts and fan testimonials to rebuild a business from scratch. From member station WWNO, Eve Troe reports.
Behold the Hubig's Pie, a fruit-filled crescent, fried golden brown and delivered fresh to more than 1,000 local stores each morning. At least until a year ago, when a pie cooker in the nearly century-old bakery caught fire.
Nearly 100 firefighters descended on the Hubig's Pie factory.
As news of the early morning blaze spread, locals flocked to the scene. But many flocked to the pies.
Some trucks were actually on the road delivering to convenience stores and grocery stores.
Drew Ramsey is the third generation of his family to run Hubig's Pies.
They did not make their whole route. People stopped them, and they never even made it in the front door. They were out of pies by the time the sun came up.
Even a year later, the rumor mill turns on Twitter. Who has stockpiled the last Hubig's Pie? Today, fans still mourn their favorite flavor.
Cherry was the best, but you didn't have it all the time.
But I happen to think apple was the best. I'm an apple girl.
Dale Stainbrook and Ann Martin ate a Hubig's almost every morning with coffee.
Lost weight, can't sleep.
He has PTSD from business pies.
It's been like a year-long jazz funeral to cope with pie withdrawal, complete with musical tributes.
'Cause all I wanted was a Hubig's pie. A Hubig's pie. A Hubig's pie.
That's Dave Jordan from the album Bring Back Red Raspberry, his flavor. Even the New Orleans City Council roots for pies. A meeting on permits for the new Hubig's factory prompted this.
Colleagues, do you have any comments or questions before we go to public comment?
We're wondering where our pies are.
We don't vote without Hubig pies,
I can
tell you.
Two lemons and a coconut.
Our preferences up here so far are two lemons and a coconut.
Fans have done more than cheer. They've bought merchandise. Hubig's T-shirts, ties, Christmas ornaments, even full-body pie costumes. Without actual pies, Drew Ramsey says the company logo is the only product. It shows a triple-chinned baker in a fluffy white cap named Savory Simon.
Well, that's all we have left, you know, our little fat man holding the pie.
Trinket sales make up a fraction of lost pie revenue, but community image is key to the comeback, says Tulane University geographer Richard Campanella.
Hubig's is one of those things that had not yet been co-opted by the tourism industry the way beignets have, and it had that deep-rooted localism that endeared it.
Even Hubig's factory was endearing. On a block of carefully restored pink and green Creole cottages, it was the lone industrial holdout.
You know, it produced something. It kept the neighborhood real.
Authenticity gets expensive. The historic neighborhood means a long list of regulations, and 1920s factory gear is hard to replicate. Drew Ramsey has custom machinists and a metallurgist crafting a special wheel to cut the pie dough. How will he know the new product stacks up?
We got a stash in the freezer that are going to be the prototypes. It will have the same amount of little ridges that crimped the dough. It'll be the exact same size. It'll be the same.
To get that first pie off the line, hopefully next year, Hubig's will have to do something it's never done, borrow money, likely more than $1 million. But fans like Dale Stainbrook and Ann Martin pledge they'll buy plenty of pies.
Yeah, but I'll wait in line the first time the door opens.
We'll be camping out.
And in a city as diehard about local food as New Orleans, Hubig's Pies might just be able to take those testimonials to the bank. For NPR News, I'm Eve Troe, pre-ordering a peach Hubig's pie in New Orleans.
'Cause all I wanted was a Hubig's pie. A Hubig's pie. A Hubig's pie. No, I love you, baby, morning, noon, and...
You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.